The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time for our weekly music spot with, of course, Larissa Nolan and John Cadell from rockyoulike.com. Well, we're going to start by talking. Well, Drake at least is going to play the Three Arena tonight, unlike your one Nicki Minaj. I keep getting it right. Who cancelled on Friday evening, not long before she was due to take the stage. And lots of people had travelled from all around the country to Dublin. And then adverse weather conditions got blamed because her equipment hadn't arrived. And that's, okay, that may well have been the case. But isn't it a problem like that? She cancelled the Olympia a couple of years ago when she was due to play there. In the last few weeks, she's cancelled in Bordeaux in France. Yeah. And she cancelled in Bratislava as well.
Yeah.
She's a bit of a habit of cancelling, hasn't she?
Well, yeah. Is it just bad luck or what's
very
the story?
Very bad luck, obviously. Isn't it atrociously bad luck?
She's a bailer, as we call them. You know, and your friends who say, I'll turn up to this thing, and then they go, oh, sorry, I can't make it now.
Yeah.
She's one of those.
But yeah, apparently some of the trucks didn't reach the port because of the adverse weather conditions, which, you know,
I'd
be inclined
winds,
to believe it. You know, she said in a post, it's not in her interest to annoy her fans or to lose money or cancel shows.
Mm.
So it's not as though it's, you know, I think it takes a lot for a performer to
Obviously not in her case, because it is becoming a habit. I mean, there's a pattern there at this stage. I suppose maybe some people have a bar as to which they then decide. But then you see, right, if you cancel all the time for various different things, or you don't have your arrangements together, because it wasn't exactly like it was, you know, it wasn't in the middle of a blizzard or anything like that. So I think that what happens here is then when you get sick, it looks like as if you're cancelling all the time. So, you know, you shouldn't really be keeping those cancellations for when you really, really need to make
it. Well, now, Larissa, you can't say that the adverse weather conditions weren't the reason that the trucks turned up. Because I would be inclined to believe it. I think sometimes tours are just dogged with bad luck. Look at REM's Monster Tour from 95. Three of the band got very, very sick whilst on that tour. Not least Bill Berry, who had an aneurysm, and they postponed for 6 weeks. Things just happen, and maybe Nicki Minaj is just having a bad run of it tour-wise.
Yeah, she's a lot of competition coming up behind her, though, isn't she? She should be kind of keeping on top of that, really.
I can't imagine her manager saying that to her now. Now, Cardi hasn't cancelled any of this, you know, so no, I'd be inclined to believe it.
The enormously popular Drake kicks off 3 nights at the Three Arena tonight. Let's hear a little bit of God's Plan, one of only 23 songs to have been streamed more than 1 billion times on Spotify.
She say, do you love me? I tell her only partly. I only love my bed and my mom. I'm sorry. 50 dub, I even got it tatted on me. 81, they'll bring the crashers to the party. And you know me. Turn the 02 into the 03, dog. Without 40 Ollie, there be no me. Imagine if I never met the broskies. God's plan, God's plan. I can't do this on my own, hey, no, hey. Someone watching this shit close, yeah, close. I've been me since Scarlet Road, hey, roll, hey. Might go down as G-O-D, yeah, wait, yeah. I go hard on Southside G, hey, wait, yeah. I make sure that Northside E, yeah. And still bad things, it's a lot of bad things that they wishing and wishing and wishing and wishing they wishing on me. Yeah. Yeah. Bad things, it's a lot of bad things that they wishing and wishing and wishing and wishing they wishing on me.
A lot of bad things.
I nearly nodded off there for a while.
You know, I started drifting.
How is he getting away with it? It's really quite unbelievable. I mean, it's really basic stuff. There was a review there recently in which one side of his new album was called a barrage of lifeless tunes.
That was the Irish Times described it as that.
So this is the only time I've ever heard something where it made me jump up and down and get energised was Hotline Bling. I'm always saying about this. Yeah. That was a great song he did. I like Drake when he's with Rihanna. What's My Name was brilliant as well. And what was the other one he did? Work, Work, Work. That's him, isn't it?
Yes, that's him.
So I like when he collaborates with someone, he seems to work out. But otherwise, it's just deadly boring. I mean, it really, it's beyond me how he's so popular. Cannot understand it. However, can I just say one thing? I didn't know his name was Aubrey Graham. Do you know that? That's his real name. And he's got a great musical pedigree. His father, I think, played drums for Jerry Lee Lewis, and his uncles played with Sly and the Family Stone and all these other brilliant
people.
You think
you would have picked up some tips now, wouldn't you?
You would. Well, there must be something in there, but I just
I don't mind Drake. I wouldn't be rushing to see him, but I think he's grand. But he's just grand.
Yeah. But it's amazing. Isn't he one of the most successful songwriters of all time?
Based on people not buying his music? Based on people listening to his music but not buying it. I mean, they had some hokum a few months ago saying that he was one of the most successful artists since the Beatles. Based on what? Influence? Sales?
Mm.
No. Just people streaming.
Three nights in Surrey.
Bet you he had more Instagram likes.
Sorry, what am I talking
about? Well, yeah, that's fair enough. But, you know, don't be saying the only artist since the Beatles to do this, that and the other. You know, there's different metrics now. But look, I'm getting off the point. The fact is he will put on a great show in the Three Arena and at least 40,000 people will come out of that with a smile.
Three Arena, of course it is. I was kind of at the point there for a minute in my head.
Well, also at the point, the Three Arena, later this year, tickets going on sale Friday. Eddie Vedder of Pearl Jam, but he's going solo, although he will have Glenn Hansard as a special guest.
Well, I really hope that he plays some tracks from his album Ukulele Songs and some tracks from the Into the Wild soundtrack. Jesus.
That's great.
Why would you bother? Like, bring the band. What? Bring Pearl Jam.
That's right. Well, you actually preempted the question I was going to ask, because if Pearl Jam were come, I would be there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Eddie Vedder on his own.
Playing ukulele. So, you know what? That's just like stardom gone.
Let's hear a little bit of Hard Sun. Once I built an ivory tower so I could worship from above. Where I climbed down to be set free. She took me in again. Throws it back at me. Once I dug in her grave to find a better land, she just smiled and laughed at me and took her blues back again. That's more John Cougar Mellencamp than it is Pearl Jam.
John Cougar Mellencamp, maybe.
I love that, actually. I think it's great. I'd be interested. I haven't heard much of his solo stuff. I've just Pearl Jam were just everywhere in the 90s. You couldn't get away from them.
For good reason.
Well, I wasn't really into them now. I'm just going to say I wasn't. They always, to me, it was like all these songs with one name, you know, like Daughter, Jeremy,
Black,
Evenflo, Alive.
Alive.
And he had that baritone of the mangled bells. And that kind of just, I think everything, it just sounded the same to me. However, I did like him as a person. He seems like a cool guy.
He does.
And he's always writing about really, like, worthwhile social issues, you know, from an interesting narrative. No, from an interesting narrative. Like, Jeremy was a brilliant song and brought up an important issue.
True, yeah.
I do like his politics and I like how he weaves them into his music. And I think I might like to see him solo.
But in fairness, I have to say, at least he's not actually going out solo, just doing what he would do with Pearl Jam as a solo artist. It does sound different.
Yeah. No, definitely.
Is that a good thing? Well, it's a pity he's not going out doing what he does with Pearl Jam. I just don't have any truck with his couple of solo albums. I just think it's indulgence.
Is it a bit like Bruce Springsteen going out without the E Street Band?
No, not at all. Springsteen is the engine of that entire band, whereas Eddie Vedder needs the other lads, I think, to bring out the best in him. Now, that's my opinion, and you know what? I probably have it wrong, because I know he is a creative force, but he needs Stone Gossard, he needs Jeff Ament, as far as I'm concerned, to actually be able to create the great stuff.
But they do have a brace or more of excellent albums.
Yeah, they are.
I do. So just for me, they're always kind of, you know, they were put in the grunge category, but for me, they weren't really. They were sort of like
just
the commercial version, was it?
That's why. No, everyone was lumped in as grunge when Nirvana broke.
And I think it even came out, their albums
were
before Nirvana.
They're more classic rock. They're far more sort of like Neil Young than they ever were.
That's true.
Nirvana.
Good point.
Yeah.
Okay, we now know the identity of the lead acts at Glastonbury. And as it happens, you wonder, are these... These are acts that we've seen here in Ireland. I think we will see in Ireland during the year, this year as well.
Yeah.
It's going to be The Killers and The Cure. Are they what you would expect as the headliners at Glastonbury?
What is an expectant headliner at Glastonbury? The great thing about Glastonbury is anybody could be the headliner, as in you don't know who you're going to get. One year it was Jay-Z, the next year it was Oasis, the next year it was Kanye, next year it was, I think, Gorillaz had to step up. It, you know, Glastonbury is really a festival, a multi-genre festival. It's a multicultural festival. It's the most famous music festival in the world. I mean, that's proven by the fact that the BBC fawn over for at least a month in the run-up and during. But yeah, The Killers, The Cure, Stormzy and Janet Jackson, that's a solid set of headlines.
Okay, well, I love Miley Cyrus.
What's wrong with Miley?
No, she's just for the kids. Yeah. The really young kids.
No, she's. I think she has...
matured?
I think she has definitely.
So, but I mean, I think with The Killers and The Cure, I would love to go to that. They'll probably go, you know, they do the tour around whatever, it was summer festivals, they're all doing the same thing. But The Killers live, I mean, I think that's always a fantastic... Yeah. But did I not see them recently at... Were they not playing Glastonbury a while ago? Was that a different festival? But they're just such a band live, such a good live band. I don't know why they don't get the credit they deserve a lot of the time. But
an awful lot of the acts will be here in Ireland this year. Liam Gallagher, he's going to be playing in Cork. Janelle Monáe, George Ezra is playing in Dublin. The Chemical Brothers, I think, are playing here during the year.
I think so.
Vampire Weekend, who've been here regularly. Tame Impala, Christine and the Queens are also going to be at Electric Picnic. Bastille, Sigrid's at Electric Picnic.
But remember, Matt,
Snow Patrol.
The music is only one part of Glastonbury. It's the same argument we have about Electric Picnic every year on this show, is that it's only one facet of the weekend. I mean, there's so much happening in Glastonbury apart from the music. The music is probably, you know, historically what it's been sold on, but it is all about the experience as well. It's all about the Glastonbury experience, going on the Thursday, coming back in the Monday. People, you know, they save up all year.
Before the break, if I was to play one track, Mr. Brightside by The Killers or Love Song by The Cure, what would you prefer?
Larissa, you pick.
Oh, that's really
choice.
Hard because Mr. Brightside isn't my favourite song by them. Mine is Read My Mind, which is their brilliant song. But it's the best song of The Killers, I advise it. I'm going to out myself here now. I was one of the biggest Cure heads that you would ever meet.
Did you go to the Grove?
No, because I wasn't involved in the Dublin scene, not being in Dublin. But I was at every concert you could get to. But there used to be these Cure conventions as well that you used to go to meet other Cure heads. I was a massive fan. I still absolutely love Disintegration, which is a fantastic album.
Those Cure conventions mainly took place in the steps of the Central Bank.
I used to have to get my way into Dublin and sometimes lie my way into Dublin to go to places. But I'm really looking forward to seeing The Cure live. I forgot
how good they were. Playing in Malahide Castle the day the Metallica are up on Slane, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. So for a lot of people, they would like both of them, I think. You know,
my friend Dave is a huge Metallica fan and a huge Cure fan. He says there's not one iota of doubt in his mind he's going to The Cure.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a great album as well, worth listening to. I was listening to it again today, called Mixed Up. They did mixes of all their hits, like Fascination Street. It's just so far ahead of its time. I mean, it's 10 or 20 years
old.
Hang
on, but the eponymous Metallica album of 1991 is one of the best rock albums ever.
Yes, it is. That's true. But if you're talking about festival ready hit songs, The Cure blow Metallica out of the water. So what I should say is, if you want a gig full of era defining hit singles, The Cure or Metallica, it's The Cure every time.
Okay, before we go to the break, so let's hear a little bit of Love Song. So who was Dick Dale? Sounds like a character out of Mad Men.
I know, it's a great name, isn't it? And fitting for the guy he was as well. He's called the King of Surf Guitar. So he was pioneer of that sound, that kind of reverb guitar sound, using, I suppose, scales a lot of the time. You would hear it still now. I mean, I would have really liked the Pixies, because they followed in that way. The B-52s as well used a lot of surf guitar. And of course, the Beach Boys used it as well. I think you probably know us more from Miserloo. I think that's what people would know.
And Muse do it as well, don't they? Muse use it a fair bit as well.
Well, that's a good one. I didn't have that in my list, John, so thanks for telling me that. But I often wondered what joined together the bands that I liked, and I think surf guitar is what joins them together. So this is the second time now in 2 weeks that Brian Wilson has had to pay tribute to somebody he worked closely with. So Dick Dale has died, and then last week Hal Blaine, the drummer, died. So, you know, poor Brian Wilson, everybody he's worked with and all these pioneers are, you know, I think he paid tribute to him, as far as I know.
He did, yes, he did.
He said it was his guitar playing was a big influence on all of us.
Yeah.
We covered Miserloo,
they did,
he said, on Surfing USA in 1963. So another sad passing, and he was 81.
I believe he didn't write Ghost Riders in the Sky. It was written by Stan Jones in 1948, but he was the most famous for playing it ever before others got to it. But let's hear a little bit of Miserloo.
You hear that
Pulp
Mexican?
Fiction. I'm just thinking the Pulp Fiction, the great soundtrack to Pulp Fiction, when that starts.
That's the signature song, I think, even of the soundtrack. Yeah. But it's that Mexican influence. You hear it in Joey Santiago and the Pixies. They do a song called Cecilia Ann, the first song on Bossa Nova. And B-52's Rock Lobster as well. Another one. So it's actually his style has gone all the way down through the ages and is still being influenced today. People are being influenced by it.
Okay. All right. And we've had confirmation as to why Fleetwood Mac ditched Lindsay Buckingham.
Well, we sort of knew this. I think this is a story now because they're on the front cover and are the main interview in this month's Mojo magazine. Lindsay Buckingham left Fleetwood Mac after reigniting his feud with Stevie Nicks, and I saw this at the time. The reason that she got so annoyed and said she'd never step on a stage with him again is because he smirked while she was giving a speech at an awards show.
Actually, Larissa and myself smirk at you all the time when you're talking here. You haven't stormed off yet.
I haven't been kicked out either. But they were all standing behind Stevie, behind her to the side, while she was accepting an award on behalf of the group. I think it was the Music Cares Award. But anyway, there was a running joke in the band that Stevie would go on and on and on when she was accepting awards, and Lindsay sort of smirked to the rest of the band to go, here she goes again, and they were all in it.
Yeah.
And the next thing, because she threw a strop, they threw him under the bus.
But I mean, this is like, this. What age are they?
You know, it's ridiculous.
It's playground stuff.
If you look at Mick Fleetwood's quote, which I presume is taken from Mojo, he says, support really could not be given to ask the situation to continue. Like, that's just lawyer speak. Speak properly. And he goes, a parting of company took place, and it had to take place, and it was supported by the remaining band members around something that for sure was a major problem to two people.
Well, the other thing is that's really frustrating about that is it's obviously only the kind of joke that will go on amongst two people who really knew each other for a very long time.
It was a band in joke.
Yeah, it's an endearing thing, actually, in certain ways. But I mean, to take that so personally, I'm really amazed that somebody of Stevie Nicks' stature and self-confidence would go that direction. It's an awful pity.
Some of your comments. Claire says, I was at the Eddie Vedder gig 2 years ago. He was fantastic, amazing voice and a great character. Interacted with the crowd, very genuine guy and talented. Far exceeded my expectations. And another one says, Eddie played the Marquee in Cork. It was an amazing gig, says Ja in Cork as well. Another one says, he did lots of Pearl Jam covers and a few songs with Glenn when he did similar a few years back as well. So obviously a big mate of Glenn Hansard. Okay. Pick of the week time. What have you got for us, Larissa?
So I'm choosing Sia, who's my favourite female singer of the moment. Definitely the best in the world at the moment, I think. Sia has done a couple of collaborations with Diplo and Labyrinth. And Thunderclouds was the last one, which was great. And this new one is called No New Friends. We are the kings and queens.
Okay, and your pick of the week, John?
I've gone for a collaboration, new album between Karen O, her off the AAS, and Danger Mouse, super producer. The album's called Lux Prima. I wanted us to play a bit of the title track, but it's 8 minutes long. It's brilliant. Do check it out. But I think we're going to play Woman, which is equally as good.
Not 8 minutes of that anyway, John.
No. It's very Patti Smith sounding, but it's like a star.
You bring her into everything.
No, it is. It is.
You do. She's inspired. Overrated.
No bad thing.
Larissa Nolan and John Cadell, as ever, thank you for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.